Hey guys.
What's up, y'all?
Let's do this.
Let's do this. 3, 2, 1.
Oh.
Okay, she had like two cracks.
I had some stragglers.
Two cracks and a straggler.
What up, babes?
How y'all doing?
Welcome or welcome back to the Let's Make Out podcast, where we make out all things what?
Love, life, and laughter.
That's right. I'm your host, Gabrielle, also known as Gabe, joined by my husband, handsome, and what's your name, boo?
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Chad. Chad. Also known as Babe.
Chad.
Yeah. So.
I have to switch it up. Normally I say handsome husband.
Because there was. So, yeah, true. Yeah. There was funny. It was funny. This weekend we did an event and I met a husband. I had already met the wife because Gabrielle had introduced me before, but I had never met the husband. And so we ended up Sierra and her.
Oh, okay.
And he walks up. He's like, so you're the babe, right? I was like, well, you know, I'm looking pretty good. I was like, but I'm, you know, like when we first started vlogging and switched to Gabe and Babe,
so funny.
That would have been awkward for me. Like, but now it's like, yeah, I mean, she's the babe, but you know, somehow I got that name.
It is pretty funny. I think you're fully in Babe now. Like you're used to people calling you.
I mean, it's just normal.
Like,
I mean, it's, you know, you think what's at least 8 years of that, right? Because we didn't switch
to Gabe and Babe. I don't remember. For the longest, it used to just say GFlowers02 at the top of our vlog. Bless you. And then it went to like hashtag Gabe and Babe or something like that.
You did hashtag Gabe and Babe.
But I don't remember. Maybe once we were pregnant, I feel like sometime in the pregnancy is when that happened. So 2012, maybe like a year later.
Yeah, so maybe almost 9 years of being.
Of actually being Babe and
AKA
you know,
Babe.
Becoming Gabe Babe TV. Gabe Babe TV.
Because we're celebrating 10 years in October.
Join us. If you guys didn't know that we vlog.
Oh, yeah.
Where have you been?
That's where we started.
That's where we started. That's what we do. We vlog on YouTube. We share our life, as much of it as we feel comfortable, which is actually a lot.
3 days a week.
3 days a week. So you can come on over and watch us there if you're not familiar. I feel like most of y'all know.
If you are familiar and somehow you're not subscribed.
Come on over and
subscribe. Hit the notification bell on Gabe Babe TV, The Gabe Fix, and here on Let's Make Out Podcast.
Oh, yes, because Gabe Fix. She put out a
video.
Summer haul last week.
She did.
I've been struggling with them videos, but I'm trying. Yeah, I recorded a whole video about me installing this hair that I'm wearing right now because I was going to do like a recap about it, and we cannot find the footage. I think Babe accidentally deleted it because where could it have gone? Literally, we've looked through all of the memory cards.
And whenever she uses Babe in the reference of accident deleted it, I don't think that's about me. I think that there's another reference somewhere because.
Well, I think he did it. I can't find the footage. So now I'm like, well, there goes that video.
Or she didn't hit record. Who knows?
That could be.
Who knows?
But I filmed like at least 5 clips while I was doing my hair.
Maybe.
One of them would have been recorded. I'm not a rookie with the camera.
Yeah, maybe you just didn't give it a little. You gave it a little tap instead of a push.
Anyway, how about we cue the music?
Okay, how about we do that? You see, you act like I'm not ready though.
I know. I thought I was gonna. Okay.
Double tap.
Us in this camera here, why do I seem so much taller than you? Do you see that?
Huh?
Why do I look so much taller than you in this camera? It's because you're not sitting up? I'm like, no, I'm not that tall.
I mean, I always sit with a rounded back. Like, that's always been an issue of mine.
Poor posture.
Yeah, I have poor posture. Plus, I mean.
Fix it.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, my back's tired. My shoulders is tired.
Yeah.
These rides.
They've had a super long ride on Sunday.
Yeah, so in case you don't know, I'm training for an Ironman right now, which is a triathlon, the Ironman triathlon, which consists of 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike ride, and then a 26.2-mile marathon run. And And so it's November 6th is when. So we're about 92 days away from the race. Or no, 95 or 96 days from the race.
Look at you. You got the countdown. Yeah,
I'm 61 days away from Muncie, from my half Ironman. So, I mean, we're getting there. So I'm really only about 2.5 months from the Ironman because the last couple weeks will be taper weeks. So really, I got 2.5 months of hard work coming up. And we're getting there. So this weekend, though, is when I do my long workouts. What's up?
Well, that's a question. Because, so I don't know how familiar you guys are, and maybe this breakdown is not necessary. I'm familiar with a full marathon. You run a full marathon at the end. You saying 2.4 miles swimming means nothing to me. Like, you saying however long the bike is, like, what is, can you break down, like, what is a typical time frame for each event? You see what I'm saying? Like, a full marathon, I think we all kind of get that. But
yeah, so the 2.4 mile swim, the professionals do those in, like, 50 minutes, 45 to 50 minutes. They're just that. I mean, but they're professionals.
Fast, right.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they're the professionals. I think the world record is like 42 minutes or something like that. In an Ironman. I'm sure that there's a swimmer, a professional swimmer out there that's just did that. And there's a and it's quicker than that. But like for an Ironman, I think 42 minutes or so is like the world record. And so my goal is is an hour 30. 45 minutes per 1.2 mile loop. Because the way Panama City Beach works is you do 1.2 miles in the water. You get out. And you run like 50 yards to the start, and you go back in the water
Do it again. It's like a loop. Okay.
And I like that because it's safety. That's because nice. You think about it, you would have to go deeper in the water
to go that far
if you were doing the full swim and not getting out. And you know the ocean. I mean, you can't keep control of people, thousands of people, because there'll be thousands of people there. You know, you can't keep control of them and keep their safety if they're going so far out in the ocean. So I like that because, you know, you get to get out of the water. I can take a gel because I'll be about 45 minutes in, hopefully, and then get back in the water and finish it off. So that's my goal, 130 for the swim. The bike is 112 miles. So my goal for that, I did 56 miles. I did just short of 56 miles this weekend in 3:30, so 3 hours and a half. So, and I was actually kind of tired. It wasn't a super great ride. You know, I had a pretty good week of workouts. So my legs were kind of tired. Plus I did a 2 hour run the day before. So, or hour and 55. So that was, you know, so my legs were a little bit tighter. So I think on fresh legs, you know, coming off the swim, my goal would be 7 hours or less. For the ride. So I really would love to do about 6:45. So that would put me, you know, to start the run around the 8:15, 8.5 hour mark. And then my goal is to finish in under 13 hours. So then do the marathon in, you know, 4.5 hours at most, which is doable. I did a half Ironman. I did a half marathon in 154, I think. Yeah, 154. I did a half marathon before. So I'm hoping that I can keep it at like a 205, you know, a 210 at the most. And then that would be 420. That'd be 410, 420. And I would come in under 13. So that's the goal. But so that's what, yeah.
Thank you for breaking that down. Because I'd be like trying to, what I didn't realize is that the bulk of the race is on the bike.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I mean, so, the 112 miles on a bike, you know, that's, you know, so the goal with that is really to average the highest speed that you can, you know, because the quicker, you know, the quicker you're going, the quicker you get it done. So I've heard that the ride is very flat, which is a blessing because there are some Ironmans that are like in the mountains and stuff. One day I want to do one that's like that because it's a challenge. But for my first one, Panama City Beach is the one they say everybody, all the pros go there to get PRs or personal, you know, best.
Because it's a pretty easy.
Because it's, yeah, flat course.
Easier.
Super flat course.
Okay.
So I'm hoping, you know, I know Nick Baer, the guy that I follow and who I'm part of BPN, the ambassador now for the protein. You can get 10% off if you use the code RAIDER. And we'll put the link down in the description box or the show notes. R-A-D-E-R. There's no I, not the football team. But he did the Panama City Beach, Florida Ironman, and him and I have been chatting going down the DMs. We're chatting, talking about the Ironman race because he's done it. And so, you know, he was telling me that he went super fast on the bike. Like, it was, the bike was very fast.
Okay. So that makes sense now that the most money you've spent on this training has been for the new bike and new rims and like
the wetsuit.
You know what I'm saying? Like, well, the wetsuit.
Yeah, it wasn't super.
Bike was a substantial.
Yeah, the bike was a pretty big investment. Mm-hmm. First new bike I had since my new bike in 2012.
Yeah.
So, so when I told her the price of the bike, she was like,
How much?
What?
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, I mean, without saying the price, though, it's like it's got electronic shifting.
Honey, that thing was so expensive.
It's got disc brakes like a car.
Yeah.
It's you know, the rims make you faster. But you're on the bike. Mm-hmm. I went and got fitted. You know, which costs like $250. I got a new seat. I mean, there's things that you do because for one, if you don't want, I see so many people. I'm going to challenge people right now. I see so many people on bikes, like a regular mountain bike, a regular bike that they get with their family, and you are literally, your knees are coming up to your stomach. When you should not be bending your knees that much. You need to raise your seat. So if you get out and start riding and you feel like your knee and your leg, if you feel like your ankle is about to touch your butt when you're pedaling...
Then you're down really low.
But I saw it just yesterday.
Did you really?
And if I had a chance, I would have stopped. Everything in me, I would have stopped and said, hey, raise your seat. It's going to be more comfortable. But I couldn't stop. I was driving.
Interesting.
They were crossing the road, so I let them cross, but people were behind me, so I couldn't say anything. Right. If nobody would have been behind me, I literally would have stopped and said, hey, raise your seat. It'll be more comfortable. It'll be better on your knees. Mm. You're hurting your knees, I'm telling you.
There you have it.
Yeah, and that's why people that ride like on a regular basis, they get fitted, because it's to make it so the bike moves according to how your body moves.
Customized, yeah.
So raise your seat if you're doing that.
There you go.
Well, maybe it's the only time you want your ankles to touch your booty, and it ain't during the bike, okay?
Raise your seat. All right. Well, there we go. So, babe is in the thick of training.
Thick of training.
I just swear it gets longer and longer every week.
I've already thanked her personally, but yeah, I want to thank publicly my beautiful wife for just allowing me to, you know, we talked about it at the beginning, but just to be supportive and allow me to do all this training.
Absolutely. I'm here to support your goals.
Yeah.
And this is a goal. So. Yeah.
So she's, even time I say I got to go do this or do that for ride or for runs, whatever, she's just like, go ahead, go.
Go for it.
So I appreciate it.
When you cross this finish line, shout it, I'm going to be so excited.
Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be a party, y'all. It's going to be a party.
It's a party.
And we'll be filming, so you guys will get to capture the moment. You get to see the moment as well.
Absolutely. So let's see. What else has been going on? You guys, Chad Jr. goes back to school tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Well, when you're listening to this,
yesterday.
He will have started yesterday. And I'm so excited for him. He's going to be in third grade.
He's
His teacher
too.
Emailed yesterday, and she had like a whole video and like a get to know her type of thing. So he was really excited. He had recognized her because she was a first grade teacher when he was in first grade. Not his, but she was, you know, one of the first grade
teachers. She moved
teachers.
To third this year. So
that's
yeah,
cool.
I recognize her face too, I feel like, from when they did the introductions.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. We also got a message from the superintendent that they are recommending that everyone, vaccinated or unvaccinated, wears their mask, which is great because they had said that they weren't going to be mandatory. So they still didn't make it mandatory, but it was highly recommended. So I feel like that makes me feel...
Feels a lot better.
A lot better.
That she came out. Mm-hmm. Let's be excited that it's a woman and it's a black woman.
Yes, we have a new black woman superintendent, which is amazing.
That's super big, you know, and that's, you know, that's super exciting.
Yeah.
So she came out and said that. So we were already going to send him with his mask anyways, because we were just thinking that, you know, kids that age can't get vaccinated.
Right.
You know, so it's like, what can we do?
Yeah.
So we're excited about that.
Super excited.
He's excited to go back.
So excited. So here's the other thing we were trying to figure out, and I wanted to get you guys' opinion about it. parents that have their kids playing sports who are not able to get a vaccination because, you know, we were always going to be like, well, you know, we've been asking Chad pretty much, you know, all year if he's ready to play basketball again, because it's been like two years since he played and, you know, he just wasn't really ready yet for organized sports. But I feel like this year he's ready, and I asked him and he's like, sure. And then I started to register him and I was just like, is this smart? Like, I'm thinking of all the contact, the same ball, we're enclosed in the gyms. I don't know. So I'd love to get opinions of parents who have their kids playing sports. Yeah. Like,
how kids, do you kids feel? That can't get
kids
vaccinated.
That can't get vaccinated.
Yeah, so not the high schoolers
and
stuff.
Like, you know, if you have elementary students. Junior high students.
Anybody that's under the age of 12.
Right. Like, how are you approaching that, and how do you feel? Because I'm like, I just...
We want him to...
Because I don't know. I don't want to be scary about it, but I also want to take precaution. Like, is it necessary for him to start right now when cases have started to rise? Like, I don't know. So we've been trying to figure that out. So I'd love your opinion.
Yeah. I mean, we believe in the Alpha and the Omega, but we know that the Delta is running rampant right now. Okay.
You were just waiting to use.
Just waiting, okay?
I can't do it. I cannot.
Oh,
all right, so what else has been going on?
I think we should jump into our first sponsor.
Okay, you know he always gets me right on the
first
sponsor.
Yes, and then we will get into what else.
Okay, so shout out to our first sponsor, which is Bank of America.
Exactly.
Love them. So let me tell you a little bit about them. So if you guys have been following my blogs, you've heard me talk about the Bank of America Preferred Rewards Program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had been looking for a bank that was going to meet my needs and provide some rewards as well. And in came Bank of America.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been a Preferred Rewards member since February, which means that I get access to a bunch of exclusive benefits through the bank's loyalty programs. And since then, I've been using my Preferred Rewards membership to maximize my financial rewards on everyday spending that we're already doing. So, plus, we've been able to take advantage of some of the program's unique benefits for upcoming travel, larger home projects, and more. So, if you're interested in learning more about the program, its rewards, and how to qualify, visit bankofamerica.com/preferred rewards.
That's right. So, yes, check them out. We love them.
We love them.
And, so that was the ad, first ad. Now we're back to the podcast.
Yes.
We will be talking about money here in a little bit.
Figured we would give you guys an update because it's been about 10 months or so since we talked about paying off, you know, the $70,000 in a year and paying off babe student loans and the car and all that stuff. So we figured we'd come and just kind of give you an update about how we're doing.
Because last time we did that, we were in the hotel, right?
Yes, that was when we were in the hotel for many, many weeks.
43 days. But no one was counting.
Right. No, nobody was counting. But before we get into that, let's get into some questions. So which question book do you want?
Let's just do the book of questions.
The book of questions. Okay.
The oldie but goodie.
The oldie but goodie.
How many is it?
Shout out to my social studies teacher for introducing me to this book.
262.
262. I was about to say, is it 62?
Mm-hmm.
If computers could think and feel, should people be able to own them? How, if at all, should people be punished for hurting or destroying such machines?
What? I mean, you're talking about artificial intelligence, basically. Like, not...
Yeah.
A computer that's created to think and feel, you know, is artificial intelligence. And in my lack of knowledge and watching movies, that's what it sounds like to me. But, I mean, they're still... I mean, they're a creation they're a man-made creation.
Right.
They're not, you know, so I don't think that, I think at this point in time, they don't need to be. I'm not ready to see robots or walking around the cities and sitting at the coffee shop with me.
I'm
not ready
either.
For that right now. So let's just, you know, look, we don't need no robot in this.
Thank you.
Going crazy.
So should people be punished for hurting or destroying these machines if they had feelings? Like, would that be a punishable offense? No.
No.
Okay.
I mean, because at this point, I'm saying that if you have a computer that happened to have feelings and stuff like that you bought somewhere, you know,
it's still a product.
It's still a product that you man-made product that you bought. And I keep using the words man-made.
Yeah, because if they can think, but if they can think and feel, it's just somebody still had to program those thoughts and those feelings.
They are man-made.
Yeah,
and they have algorithms to start learning how to think and feel. Like, they had to be developed with a code and algorithm to start having them learn.
Yeah.
Just like social media learns your habits.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they'd be doing. They would be learning the habits. Oh, I should feel like this. Oh, I should feel like that. I should. And it starts developing a personality, but it's still a man-made thing. So I think, so I don't think at this point. No.
There is a follow-on question. Would it be murder to obliterate the memory of a conscious computer?
No.
What if it were fully backed up? This is really
I mean, everything's backed up.
Question.
It's called the cloud, okay?
Speaking of the cloud, I was looking at this yesterday because you guys know, you know, we have Apple products and, you know, it goes back. If you back it up to the cloud, it goes back. It goes back. But I'm looking, like, every time I look at my photos, I feel like I'm missing a chunk of memories from from 2012.
Oh, that's attempted murder.
To 2014. So like I have certain things, you know, like when Chad was a newborn and like the pictures we took at the hospital and some things like that. But all the video footage I took on my phone and cameras and pictures of his first year are not in my feed. So I went to the iCloud, like, well, maybe it's just on the cloud, but it ain't there either. So I was really concerned, like, where is that? I'm like, do I still have an old phone that would have that on there? Like, did I back it up on a hard drive somewhere?
I love this all this talk of backing it up.
No, for real. Like, I'm really concerned because I don't have all of that stuff. And I'm like, well, where the heck is it? I have an iOS backup file from 2017 on my computer. But what am I supposed to do with that? If I don't have a phone to put it on, how do I actually see the contents? Like, it's confusing to me how it's backed up. But how do I actually, like, if it's a backup file, I have to, like, install it on something to see it, right?
Did I physically see you back it up?
You know what? I can't. Anyway, this I just was looking at this yesterday. Like, where's all the videos and stuff from when Chad was, like, his first year? You know, because it starts back in, like, mid-2014. It's the weirdest thing. I'm, like, thinking, where do I have an old phone that I can look through? Or do I have old hard drives that I actually, like, physically backed up on, you know what I'm saying? Like, from my old laptop. I don't know, but it's stressing me out. So, I just thought I would say that.
Thank you for...
But also, it brings me to another point of how we've... I don't know. I have mixed feelings about the cloud. Because it's like, what, at the end of the day, what do you do with all of this stuff? What do you do with all of this
stuff? It's another form of hoarding.
It really is.
We are all hoarders now.
Like, what? I mean, what am I going to do with them videos? I'm not actually, like, I'm not watching them at this point. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, what? So then it's like, should I? I have 92,000 photos and videos on my phone. 92,000.
That's crazy.
What am I going to do with all of those videos and phones? I mean, and pictures.
That's crazy.
It's ridiculous. But I'm scared to delete them because what if I need them? But what would I need them for? You know what I'm saying?
It's a hoarding mindset that I feel like I deal with too. Keep all this stuff you don't need, but instead of doing it with physical stuff,
now it's digital.
So think about this. Because we deal with it, so we're struggling with that, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to see to all of you that are super organized at home, right? Your house is super clean. You're, you know, minimal in what you need. If there's anyone that's like that, look at your phone. Is your phone full of stuff? Is your cloud full of stuff? I'd love to know if you're that organized there as well.
Oh, like it translates over?
Does that translate over to your digital
life? Oh, who are you trying to say? Because we are such a cluttered...
Yeah.
Like, our habit is to be... To be cluttered. We have to work to get out of that.
So all of you that are not that way, when it comes to your physical things, I would love to know if you are that way on your digital side, because I feel like it's easy to be.
Yeah.
It's so easy. Like, you end up, you know, your cloud gets full. You end up just paying the $199 to upgrade.
I'm like, literally, we have like 800 gigs of stuff in the cloud.
We pay for like the 2 terabytes or something like that.
What do I need with all of this stuff? What am I going to do with all of this stuff?
Exactly. It's wild. Like, I just, it's just another form of hoarding because you can keep it.
Yep. Oh, yeah, I'll just pay for the storage. Yep. Let me just.
It's easy just to pay the.
Now I'm going to be paying $300 for storage pretty soon because it's just so much stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I would. Yeah.
It's weird. That was a tangent, but. It just got me thinking, like, why am I holding on to these things? And I get, like, memories and pictures and stuff, but I really want to get to the point where I'm, like, printing off and having, like, little albums.
And we have, you know...
At least albums or things like that you can hold. I even bought these little things on Amazon, the little photo cases. Like, you know, where you can categorize them, because I was like, I'm going to print all these pictures off of my phone, all these, you know, the ones that I want. A lot of them are duplicates, because, you know, I'll be taking selfies and stuff, and if it ain't right... I might take 25 pictures before I get the right one, and then I forget to delete the rest of them.
Yeah,
so, yeah. I don't know. I guess I just need to start printing off pictures and just getting rid of the digital footprint. It's just too much.
You're so cute.
Says the person who has their whole life on the internet. It's just too much. It's just too much.
It's pretty funny.
Okay, now that I did all of that talking, I feel like that took the place of my question. But give me a question anyway. Okay,
which book?
We'll stick with the book of questions. Okay. Let's go with 162.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, look at that. If you had a choice between two virtually equivalent medicines, one a chemical carefully synthesized... Mm-hmm. in the laboratory, and the other an extract carefully harvested from a medicinal plant, which would you prefer and why?
I think the natural one.
Yeah, I think that would be.
I mean, I think we all...
If they're virtually equivalent.
Strive to have, you know, more natural things.
Yeah, why would you not do the natural?
Versus the synthetically processed one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That one was easy. What was that one right next to it? If 100 people your age, what was that, 160?
If 100 people your age were chosen at random from your last school or workplace, how many do you think would be more satisfied with their lives than you are with yours? Why? What about 1,000 people chosen randomly from anywhere in the world? Basically, it's a question of how satisfied you are with your life. That's basically what the question is.
If 100 people my age were chosen from your last school or workplace.
So say we do a high school reunion that we didn't do last year.
I know, we didn't have our 20 year.
Because it's supposed to be last year. Like, would you think that you are happier than those 100 people?
Oh, that's a really good question.
So it's really a question of your being satisfied with your life. It's not about them.
But it is about them.
I mean, it is, but it isn't. Because you're saying, you think they would be more satisfied with their life than you are with yours?
Oh, okay.
So it's really a question of your satisfaction. Because if you're satisfied with your life, you're going to never be like, no, there's no way. Because I'm good.
Oh, I see.
If you think other people are more satisfied with their life, 100 people, then that's...
I would say probably like maybe a fourth of them would be more satisfied than me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, and this is just my theory... Those who are in social media fully use it, fully, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like there's this cycle of wanting more, doing more, because you're inundated with what everyone else is doing. But there's always that small percentage of people who don't fool with social media like that. So they're probably just happy and content doing what they do because they're not inundated with what everyone else is doing. I guess that would be my theory in answering that question.
Yeah. I would say the people that don't...
Not that I'm not satisfied with my life, but I feel like satisfied, it can...
I think this is what you're saying. It's not that you're not satisfied. It's just that being an entrepreneur in social media makes you see what everyone else is doing in your area.
But I don't think you have to be an entrepreneur. So I'm not saying what I do for my job. I'm saying anybody who uses social media on a consistent basis probably gets caught up in that seeing what everyone else is doing versus what they're doing. I'm not saying as a influencer. I'm saying period.
Well, I'm speaking to you.
Oh, okay. No, but that's what I was saying, period. Oh, okay. Like, people who are just on it and using it, period, can get caught up in just seeing so much of what everyone else is doing that it can sometimes make you feel like you're not doing enough.
Yeah, like you're not
doing enough. Yeah. That's what I was saying.
Or make you start thinking that, ooh, I should be doing that, or I should be doing that.
Right,
when, you know, that's just a...
There are people out here that don't fool with social media.
Yeah, exactly.
That just living life. Like... Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, I'd say that there's, you know, I think that that's a, you know, I mean, you think, you know, the hope is that you, so those 100 people, the hope is that every 100 person, including yourself, thinks that they're, you know, that they're happy, the happiest in their job. That's the hope.
Yeah.
Is that everyone is so satisfied.
Yeah.
Because you want everybody to be happy. You want everybody to feel satisfied.
Yeah.
You know, so... But yeah, it's an interesting question.
That's a good question, because then it's like, can you be satisfied? You can be satisfied and still want more, though.
Do you 100%.
Think? Yeah,
100%. No, I think that where we sit right now in our business, we are satisfied with what, you know, what we are doing, what God has allowed us to do. But that doesn't mean that we're not striving for more.
Hmm.
Like, we are. We're striving for...
But would that mean you're not actually satisfied? Because if you were satisfied, why would you need to strive for more?
Well, I think that...
Maybe I'm thinking content. Yeah, and I'm interchanging the... I don't know. I'm wondering.
I think that satisfied... I think that you can... I think that... Like, think about it. If you own a successful business like we do,
mm-hmm.
you can be satisfied where you're at.
Okay.
But still want it to grow.
Okay. True. Okay, so satisfied, content, pleased, happy, proud.
Yeah, like we're proud.
Fulfilled. Okay.
Yeah. Now, but we have more goals. Like, mm-hmm. I think that we're happy and, you know, satisfied with what we've accomplished so far, what God has allowed us to accomplish mm-hmm. so far. But that doesn't mean we're not, you know, reaching for more.
Yeah.
But we have other goals.
Interesting.
You know, I think that's okay. Like, I think that the big thing, okay, let me give you an example.
Okay.
Remember the Palm?
The phone?
Yes. Okay. Or BlackBerry?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember, they were super, I'm sure they were the kings of phones at one point, especially BlackBerry, right?
BlackBerry was
stuff. I'm sure they were happy and satisfied with where they were, but they stopped innovating.
Mm.
They had to have, because they got put out of business completely.
Mm-hmm.
Apple came around, put them completely out of business. So what I mean is, like, a business that is not looking to grow anymore as far as, like, evolve, not necessarily more people...
Yeah.
But to evolve with the times is at threat of, you know,
interesting.
Failing.
I don't know.
It's an interesting question. Sorry, we had to change the memory card out.
Right. Do you feel like you can be satisfied and still want more? Or does that mean that you aren't actually satisfied because you want more? I'm curious to know your thoughts. I feel like we've asked y'all about a million things for your thoughts.
You didn't know this was a test.
I know, okay. Right? We got all of the things. Okay, so let's get into the money update.
Let's do that.
Because when we talked about this before, it was like 10 months ago when we had our episode that we paid off $70,000 in debt. We'll, you know, link it. If you've not heard it before, you can always search it up on YouTube or, you know, look through our podcast to find it. Because I don't know. I can actually tell you what episode it was. Episode 65. So you can go back and listen to episode 65. So we had paid off the car, we had paid off Babe's student loans, and now we are trucking to pay off my student loans.
Yes.
And we're on track, because I said that my goal was to be done, for it to be gone before 2022.
Yeah.
It is not gone yet, but we have been significantly, like, we have started paying way more each month, like, taking advantage of this, year and a half that there's been like no interest.
Yeah, so it's all going
to it was like it happened at the best time possible because we've been able to pay like lump sums without having to worry about interest accruing. And yeah, my hope would be that we can just pay it off before October because yeah, that's when the interest is supposed to start back up. But if not, by December for sure. Which is awesome because, like, I had a whole, like, mortgage in student loan debt. Like, literally, yeah, like, $150,000, y'all. Yeah. It's a whole lot. Because of years of deferring, years of interest accruing, all of that stuff.
Six-year degree.
It didn't start off being that much. It was a six-year degree, but it only started off being probably, like, 70 or 80. And yeah, then it just, you know, that's what happens when you don't pay all that interest. Yeah. It's ridiculous. So, yeah, that's exciting.
It is. And, like, I think, well, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Jinx Gabriel. So, yeah, like, I think that, you know, so we had said also in that same update that we were waiting to get our taxes back, right?
Oh,
so we pay, you know, we pay quarterly for our business, you know, and it makes us so we don't get penalized at the end of the year and you know, and it also allows us to usually have a little bit left over. Well, mm-hmm, for us, you know, 2020 was our absolute highest grossing year to date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we owed so much. But I mean, we had the money sitting though.
We did.
So we had like, I mean, we had, I don't know if you want to say the numbers.
I mean, so I think we were banking on probably having a good 40 to 50K left over.
Yeah.
Because that is what had happened. That's what had happened the previous year. And yeah, we were able to take that lump sum and put it towards bank student loans. So yeah, we were like, oh, we'll be able to do the same thing. Yada, yada, yada.
With the money we've saved.
With the money we've saved for taxes, what we have left over. Oh, honey, we had about $2,000 left.
No, we had $11,000.
$11,000.
But we had to pay the same amount that we had paid in estimates on top of those estimates.
Yes.
And that's, you know, and the thing is, it wasn't stressful because we had the money.
Yeah.
So we had it already saved.
Thank God for that.
In a tax account. We're very smart with our taxes now. Mm-hmm. We're on a good path with you know, having those set up every year. So there's no yep, stress there. But the only thing about it was a bummer that we couldn't put it to the student.
I know. I was really bummed because I was like, yes, this is going to take me down up under the 100K mark. And it didn't. But, I mean, you know, it's fine. We're, like, right there now.
Yeah, exactly. And we have money saved, put away.
Yeah, because I kind of want to just pay it in one lump sum. Like,
she wants the satisfaction.
I just want the satisfaction of making that full payment.
Yeah.
Now, if Biden does not extend the student loan, you know,
then we'll pay what we can.
Then I'll probably pay as much as I can before, so that the interest is not on the full.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because that just wouldn't be smart. But I do really want the satisfaction of just making that
one-time like, payment.
Large one-time payment.
I want her to have that too.
So that's the update on that. But we thought about talking about the update because what we have noticed, what we have been doing, I'd say this year, because we still have a budget coach. We've talked about our budget coach before. We've been working with her for almost 2 years now, like a year and a half. And it was by far the best decision we've ever made.
Yeah.
And every time I talk about a budget coach, people are like, well, how did you find her? So I Googled budget coaches in our area. I was like, budget coach, you know, Indiana, blah, blah, blah. And she was the first one that popped up in the Google search. And I don't particularly always like say go for the first one, but I recognized her name because she's a member of our church.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, I forgot. Yeah, she does do that. Yeah, it's like you knew, but you know what I'm saying? Like when you know, but you don't really know. So I talked to Babe about it and was like, how would you feel working with someone
that we know?
That we know, because, you know, she's going to get down into the nitty gritty and see, you know, all our finances yeah, and stuff. And he was like, you know, I wouldn't mind that.
They were cool. I mean, her husband.
Yeah, like,
cool.
I mean, and she's, you know, obviously her husband doesn't know because of client confidentiality. Yeah. It's not like they're sitting at the table discussing what our finances are doing.
Exactly.
But No, I felt comfortable enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we did know her. She's also a black woman. I was like, you know what? She is highly recommended already.
Rightfully
like
people, so.
You
rightfully
know what I'm saying? Because so. She does an amazing job. So it just kind of worked out so that we didn't have to really keep searching. But I would say if anybody is looking for a budget coach, it is good to just, if you want somebody that's local, you can always just Google and see what's in your area. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if you want somebody that's virtual, you know, there are people that are virtual as well. Yeah. So that's how we got with her. And the main thing about having a budget coach, because a lot of people are like, well, do you really need a budget coach? Could you just plan your budget on your own? It was the accountability for us.
Yeah.
It was always the accountability. Like having someone that we would have to kind of go through our budget with together.
Mm-hmm.
After the month, kind of see where we went wrong, what we could have done differently, and she like just creates the plan for us based off of the goals that we have.
Yeah, and even more than that though, it's the personal budget, but then it's also advice and kind of like planning with the business mm-hmm. as well.
True.
So it's twofold. You know, it's for us, it's a to make sure that we're moving money around where we need to
yeah.
for the business and having plans there. But then also, cause you know, we pay ourselves a salary,
yeah.
And stuff like that. So, you know, we're employees of our company. So like just having, you know, being smart with that money, but then yes, obviously with the budget for personal is just to have a plan of attack. And yes, Gabrielle, she budgeted really well. And, you know, when she was doing it, but we just felt like together that, you know what, we have other things on our plate.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get someone in here that is this was what they love to do.
Right.
This is their strength. This is their ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can kind of take that burden of trying to plan it out and we can, you know, and it's been amazing.
It's been the best
yeah.
thing, the best decision we've ever made. But what we have noticed and what she has actually pointed out to us is that our expenses, our living expenses, have been creeping up over the past mm-hmm. like few months. So we were talking about this yesterday, like the amount of money that we're spending monthly is just unnecessary. Like,
yeah.
what are we doing? Like, we literally had to ask ourselves, like, what are we doing? Because quite frankly, most of this money is going towards eating out, groceries, and then like clothes.
Yeah.
It's but like, I'm like, what is it that we really buying? Because I'm not out here draped in Gucci and yeah, you know
Ray,
what I'm saying?
Lobster tails every day.
Right. Like, so it's just like these little everyday fast food runs and you know what I'm saying? Like not cooking. It is really
the biggest issue is that we're foodies. You guys know that we're foodies. If you mm-hmm. don't, well, guess what? We're foodies. And I think that that's okay, but you can't be a foodie every day unless you are okay with just spending that money because
yeah.
restaurants are more and more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, for all four of us to eat a meal, it's never under $45
ever.
Even IHOP was like with tip was like $46.
Right, we just went there for brunch on Sunday. And I'll be like, we can make everything you just ordered from IHOP. We can make it at home.
Yeah, so you think about that's two meals, that's $100.
Yeah.
Four meals, $200. You can literally see how it adds up so quickly.
Yeah, it does.
And so we just realized that
we'd be doing the most.
We don't need... It's not that we don't have it, but see, that's a mentality we want to break. We want to break the mentality of because we have it, we can spend it. We want to say, look, we have it, but we still want to be very smart with our money.
Right.
And to put money in the places we want. We want to make the money work for us, not, you know.
Exactly.
You
not
know.
Not waste it on Chipotle.
So we could be taking that $500 that we've got on meals for the week mm-hmm. or for the month and put that towards investing. Or we can, you know, there's other things we want to do.
Yeah.
And so, Gabrielle, I tell you what, I will commend Gabrielle. She's the super good planner of the family. So she has found meals and we had leftovers last night.
We had leftovers last night.
We finished the leftovers off.
Y'all know we don't do leftovers in this house. Like, I will eat leftovers, but nobody else particularly cares for them really.
Yeah, so we had leftovers.
We had leftovers last night. I planned, and I think we touched on this last week where I had planned out the whole week.
Yeah.
We stuck to the plan and I cooked, you know, like four or five times last week. I've got a plan for the. I have a plan up until like the middle of August what we're having for our dinner. Because I said, this is ridiculous. And it took our budget coach sending that email like, okay, what I've noticed is that you're spending a bit more. Like, this is how much you need for, you know, necessities each month. And you are creeping up towards more than that for extras.
Yeah,
and
it's just like, excess.
Oh, no. That's ridiculous. Now, traveling, we have been spending a bit on travel because we just had to get up out of here, okay? Yeah. We took the family vacation, you know, which was not cheap, and then we've got our, you know, our big vacation
for Disney was sponsored. That was a sponsored trip. Disney was sponsored,
thankfully. But we have been spending more on travel also because we just...
But that, you know, if we're spending... travel is not something that, like, you know, those are things that, you know, okay, we spend money on that.
I'd rather spend it on that and have the experience...
versus eating out every
day. Versus, like, we spend how much on eating out? And our problem is, like, we would be buying groceries on top of eating out. Because the hope is, like, we're going to buy these groceries and we're going to cook.
Yeah.
And then the cooking never
happens.
With
no plan of attack.
Yeah. So then it's, like, we're wasting food, buying it, but still going out and eating. You know what I'm saying? So we're, like, we're kind of putting ourselves on a no-spend challenge where we're going to eat at home. Mm-hmm. We have Pizza Friday where we eat out.
And maybe a brunch every other Sunday.
Every other Sunday we'll go have brunch.
Yeah.
Like, that's the plan for at least for August. So we can see, like, when we really, really try, how much money can we save by not eating out all of the time? And, you know, the other thing, let's be real, eating out, it ain't good on your pockets, but it also ain't good on your body. Like, just before we started, I'm like, I feel puffy, I feel bloated, I done gained some pounds, you know what I'm saying? Because we've just been eating out like crazy. And it's like, you got to reel that back in, because it will get out of hand.
She's so funny.
It will get out of hand. So, yeah, we're kind of on a no spend.
Yeah, I think that...
We've never really done that before. I feel like we've tried and failed, but I feel really good about this month.
Yeah, I do too. Really, like, you know, I think it's just, I think that's what the important piece is that, you know, for us, like for any relationship, money can be a stressor, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, money can be a stressor in relationships, and, you know, it's a very strong contributor to relationships, you know, faltering and you know, ending, if you let it, you know. And for us, we, you know, we're not financially, you know, we're you know, thankfully we're blessed to the point where we're not, you know, financially like strapped, but we understand that we have goals financially,
right?
And we want to, you know, help set our kids up. Like, we want to, you know, there's so many things we want to do with the money that we're able to make. And so we're like, okay, how do we do this together,
mm-hmm,
to get on, you know, to get on a better path, you know? And because I think we've corrected so many things that we did earlier in our marriage,
mm-hmm,
you know, we've corrected so many things. We've done so much better with a lot of things, but we still got things that we're working on. And I think that's okay because we're doing it together. And
right.
I think, you know, it's not
on the same page.
We're on the same page of like trying to, you know, I think it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think every day you should be probably trying to get better at something.
True.
You know, regardless, but especially money, because you know, unfortunately, you know, money is, you know, it gives you access, right? You need money to do anything, right? And unfortunately, it seems to be like you need more money to do everything.
I know, right? It's like, yeah, I never want to get caught up in the, we make more, so we spend more.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, there's no point in us raising our living expenses. There's no reason. You know what I'm saying?
Because we were comfortable, like, at that other point. So let's just stay there.
Let's just stay there.
And bank the rest.
So we're trying to, like, what I am proud of is that we are spending more, like, wasting more, but we're still, like, it's not taking the place of the goal.
Save.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
save.
The savings is still happening. The paying off the debt is still happening. We're just the extra.
We want to tighten it
just
up.
Yeah, it needs to be tightened.
I agree.
Up, you know what I'm saying? Because before, that may have happened, and then the savings didn't happen.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the debt payoff didn't happen because we were spending the extra. But at least now we've gotten disciplined in that area. And it's about fully, like, for it to transfer fully. And, like, look, this is how much we have. And I feel like the hardest thing to do when you have the funds is tell yourself you don't have it. I think that's been the hardest part for me for budgeting. Like,
I think that
it's like, well, you know, if we spend a little extra,
oh, not
it's a big there. Deal. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, instead of,
I think that we have to try to figure out how to. I get what you're saying. I think that what we've got to try to do is replace the trying to tell yourself, lie to yourself that you don't have it. Try to replace that with saying, we do have it, but it's going somewhere else for a better purpose. So we've got to try to switch the mindset, because you can't lie to yourself.
You can't. You're right.
So
you're right.
I mean, you can lie to yourself for a short period of time, but it doesn't really work. Like, so maybe if we switch our mindset, both of us saying, you know what, we got the money, we could spend a little extra, but you know what, that little extra would be better if we put it here at the goal. Right.
That's true.
Because that's going to feel better.
That's true, and that's something our budget coach was talking to us about too. Like, even putting into place, like, okay, well, so here's the budget. This is what it is. Anything extra is extra that you put on your student loans the next.
It's like a punishment.
So almost. It's like a, yeah, kind of like, okay, well, yeah, you went over about $500 in this category. Now you're paying an extra $500 the next month on your student loans. Yeah. So, 'cause she was trying to figure out, like, what makes you, what's the pain point, like, to make you be like, oh, okay, now I really see it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's our update. Please believe I will come back and I'll be ready to scream once we are done with my student loans, because then all we'll have left is the house. Like, how exciting is that, babe? Now, I know he itching to get a new car, but we finna save for that bad boy.
You a
car fund right now.
Another goal.
So we don't have to start having payments again. I don't want no more payments.
Yeah, no more payments. We'll save up for it, and I'll trade my car in.
Yeah.
And we'll be, and you know, we'll do it. Plus, we'll get a good discount from Mark.
Somewhere. Yeah.
Marker.
We just have to go that route.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the update, the financial update. I highly recommend the budget coach if you guys want one. If you feel like you need the extra accountability, it's totally worth it.
And it doesn't have to be a
lifelong
journey with this budget coach, but it can be a budget coach, but it can be somebody to help you get back on track.
Right.
Or get on track.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I think that's what has been great for us is just overall that accountability, you know, and making sure that you're talking about money. You know, for us, again, talking about money isn't a huge pain point, but it makes us talk in depth about the money.
Yeah.
Versus, earlier in our marriage, talking about money could be a little bit tense, right? Yeah, you know, even though, you know, because we were making less, and it was before YouTube really kicked off, and, you know, before we, you know, started growing there. So, you know, but I think that we all deal with that. Your relationships, I'm sure that you've had some tense conversations about money, or maybe your conversations are tense now and you never look forward to them. That's not a good thing. And I think that, you know, you probably know that. And we, you know, so we want to try to give you a tip that maybe could help it be a little bit easier to have those conversations. And it's like having a budget coach, like a mediator.
Yeah.
I'm not here to tell you you're a screw up or you're a screw up. I'm here to tell you how we can all get this better back on track.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. So let's get into our last sponsor for this podcast. We told you about Best Fiends many, many times. Mm-hmm. basically, getting back into traveling this year has obviously been the highlight for us. Mm-hmm. But that means we've been spending more time at the airport, you know, in the waiting rooms, whatever. And, you know, so, and that's what's been great about Best Fiends, because you have just a little game to play, just to kill the time. It's challenging. It's fun. It's not, you know, you're not over. I'm not trying to overly think things through. I want something that's kind of like a little bit of a challenge, kind of a brain puzzle. But you know, relaxing at the same time. So that's where Best Fiends comes in. It's a pretty cool game. Basically, when you get going, you've killed 10, 20, 30 minutes. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, I don't want to stop, but maybe I should stop. Or, hey, it's time to get on the plane. Levels do not end. I'm trying to think of the level. I think we're up like in the 50s on the level, like 52 or 53. But literally the levels don't stop. I mean, so it's like you think of, you could say you're on this level, but guess what? There's many more levels to come. And that's what's cool about Best Fiends. Basically with thousands of fun puzzles to solve, you know, there's something new every day. And I think that's, you know, something that's unique to Best Fiends. So there's new characters, there's new worlds that you can unlock, and game-wide themes, different things that as you continue to play the game, you can explore and open up all of these new things. But yeah, there's, like I said, there's so much that you would to love about this game, and we would love if you give it a try. Let us know, or if you've given it a try before, what do you think? But for all of you, we want you to download this 5-star rated puzzle game, Best Fiends, free today. Yes, I said free. On the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's Friends without the R, Best Fiends. So yeah, go check it out. Let us know what you think.
Yes. Let us know.
Let us know.
Do you want to do an Ask Evan Babe? I feel like it's been so long since we've done.
Did you find
Ask
one?
Evan Babe. I was looking through now. Shout out to everybody who has been sending them.
Yes, thank you.
You guys know that you can keep them coming. With hashtag Ask Evan Babe in the subject line. You can email us at letsmakeoutpodcast@gmail.com. And we will get to that. So let's see. So we have an Ask Evan Babe from Kiki. Do you love me? She said that we've answered her question before. So I'm trying to remember what question we've answered.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. But she says, hey peeps, how are y'all?
What up?
It's Kiki once again. You've answered my question before. I want to ask you guys' opinion on something. I am looking to seriously date now. I've been single for 3 years by choice because of a lot of that time I was healing from a divorce. I feel like it's time to get back out there. I'll be 30 in October, and I'd like to be married again one day. The problem I'm facing is physical appearance. I'm always told not to worry about looks. Problem is, it's so hard for me. I notice that how I interact with a guy usually is because how attracted or not so attracted to the guy, unless they have a bomb personality. I have guys I've dated that weren't necessarily eye candy, but they weren't ugly either. However, their personality was so good and the connection, so it didn't matter. As long as the guy has good hygiene and looks decent, I'm usually okay. However, I've had a few not so decent looking guys approach me, but I'm like, no, I'm just not attracted and I feel so bad. I guess my thing is mostly swag. Like you don't have to be, Morris Chestnut fine, but if you have a little swag, I'm good with that. Is this mindset toxic, and could this hold me back from meeting the man of my dreams? I don't want to be shallow and miss out, but at the same time, I feel attraction is needed for a relationship. Please help a sister out, and thanks for the advice. What do you think? Are looks important? I feel like we have covered this
a couple of times, but... I think that there's obviously, I think that it's a double-edged sword, right? So okay. if you're only going to talk to a guy, like, because they have a certain look, or and you said you're Obi said just some swag, so you're a little more open-minded, but. You can get wrapped up, I think, in having this, well, they have to look like this, they have to have this kind of job, this making this much money, like, there has to be all these different requirements that at the end of the day doesn't make them a good candidate, or mean they're going to treat you well. I think that it doesn't make you shallow because you want someone that you're attracted to. I mean, that you're attracted to.
Everybody wants somebody that they're attracted to.
That's what I'm saying, but I think that being open-minded and having a conversation with someone, you never know where that can go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to, like, how to explain. So if someone approaches you and, like, there's just no interest at all to have a conversation, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's completely, you're not to make you shallow. You don't have to.
Right.
But if there's something in you that says, have a conversation or whatever, follow your gut. You go with your gut. I think because, sometimes we can get wrapped up in, appearance. Like, for instance, I wasn't necessarily
Morris Chestnut.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't Morris Chestnut. What I mean?
It's true. To answer your question, I don't think that that's a toxic mindset. I think
we all
want to be attracted to our partner.
100%.
Like, we want that physical attraction. So, no, I definitely don't feel like that's toxic. I think that if it gets to the point where it's just like, if he don't look like this and this and this and this, I don't even want to talk. That's when you start holding yourself back.
Absolutely.
But I think you seem to still be
open
in an open space, which is great. And I will also say that the other side of that is that, well, for one, we all know that looks fade. Everybody ain't finna be looking like they're looking right now in 20, 30, 40 years.
Except for Gabrielle. She just looks the same every day.
Thank you. But looks can fade. Not that everybody's looks fade, because, I mean, you know, some folks is fine to the end. But looks change. Things change. You know, weight changes. Like, there's so many things that change.
And love grows.
So it's also like, is this, like, what I need you to be looking at is the heart of the person and the personality of the person. Is this someone that I'm attracted to in that way? Like, because also if it's just a physical attraction, you don't want to build your relationship on that, because at the end of the day, something can change and the looks aren't there anymore, and then what are you left with? So, but you also have to allow yourself the opportunity to get to know the inside of a person to even know if that attraction is there also. So I get it. Like, I'm not telling you to find, you know, the next person that comes up
to you, pile walk up,
definitely, and, you know, like, repulsive to you and not your type, to try and make it work just to be with somebody. But if you're like, oh, you know, like you said, like, okay, you may not be Morris Chestnut, but you're not ugly, you know what I'm saying? Like, give it a shot, because you never know. Like, once you get to know someone, you'll be surprised at how the physical increases once you get intimate, like, not physically intimate, but get to know them intimately.
Yes.
And get to know their heart and their mind and their thoughts. And, like, you know what I'm saying? Spend time with them that way. You know, attraction, it can grow, is something I would say. Like, don't let that be the end all be all.
Exactly. I think that... You know, I think that, you know, who is for you is for you. Mm-hmm. And they might not necessarily look the way that you thought, mm-hmm. or but if you're open-minded and just, you know, allow yourself to have conversations, to, like Gabriel said, get to know people on a deeper level, mm-hmm. then you never know what's going to happen.
You never know, and you could be
sitting here 10 years later, about to celebrate 10 years of marriage,
right?
And be like, geez.
And you freaking never know. Like, y'all know our story. Like, you know what I'm saying? Y'all know our story, and our story is a huge testament to that. Like, I could have looked at Chad and been like, nope, you're not black. Nope, you skinny. Nope, you're not 6 feet. Nope, you missing a tooth. Exactly. All of those things I could have said. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to date.
No, I look
good. But you know what I'm saying? Appearance changes. It changed. Like, y'all seen Chaz glow up. Like, let's be real. Yeah. I already thought you were fine then.
Yeah.
But you, like, super fine now. You know what I'm saying? Like, super fine. So, all that stuff can change.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah,
that's the thing.
You just gotta allow yourself to be open.
Absolutely, I think that's the biggest thing. Just be open. You know, be open, mm-hmm. and don't be so. Not that you are, but sometimes people can be so in their own way,
mm-hmm.
that they can't see good things when they're right there in front of them. So
right there,
you know. So just, you know, take a step back, evaluate the people that are in your life right now,
mm-hmm.
that you said that have tried to approach you, and you know, it's okay to be like, you know, none of them are even somebody I want to have a conversation with. But if there's a few that you're like, you know what, I haven't been having a conversation with, but they seem awesome, you know, mm-hmm. they seem like they're a cool person, maybe you'll just want to have a conversation with them. There's no expectation from the conversation.
Right.
It's just a conversation.
Starting. And I know as women, like, we put so much pressure on finding the one, go on a date, it's got to be the one, but I think there's something to say for being able to go into any situation without expectation, because I feel like in those moments is where you find your biggest blessing.
I agree.
Because you're not so stressed. You're not trying to make it fit. You're not trying to make it be, oh my goodness, this is about to be my husband. You know what I'm saying? Because then you just put unnecessary pressure on the whole situation, on yourself, on the other person. And it's like going into it more open. Like, hey, let's just see how this goes.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you turn around and find out yourself, you got swooped.
Okay? Exactly. That's okay. What happens. You know what I'm saying?
Swoop, here I am, girl. I got you. See?
That's exactly what happens. It's like, you know, there were no expectations at all. You know, honestly, it was like, okay, well, we'll see what he's talking about. And I fell in love with the inside.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, okay, I can't. There's no way I can live without this person. You know what I'm saying? Because of how we had gotten intimate. We had known each other intimately. Like, I keep saying intimate, but not physical.
Yeah, not intimacy, physical, intimate.
But, like you know, inside, we had got to know each other. And it was just this pull and this, you know, attraction there. So I would say, you know, we all have that list of physical wants that we want in a significant other, but make sure you take the time to create the non-physical list also, so that you know when you come in contact with, you know what, this is also something that I'm looking for. He values God. He's a believer. He values family. You know what I'm saying? Like, make sure you have the physical list is cool, but it shouldn't be more important than the inside list of what you're looking for in a mate.
Because all the things that could have been holdups for Gabriel, the only one that I couldn't change was being black.
The only one.
You know? Like, but more importantly than that, I can just be myself.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, right. I can just be myself, but I can also hit the gym, you know, get these arms going, you know what I mean?
I can't.
get the teeth, you know, straight.
I mean, I couldn't get taller, but that's all right. Yeah, you're taller than me, that probably matters.
I'm 5'11". I'm about 6 foot, okay? So, that's what I mean. So just don't get hung up on the small things if the person is extra dope, because you're going to be like...
Yeah, you might miss out on that dopeness. Like,
dang it, I should at least... Because even if it doesn't turn into a relationship, it could turn into a best friend.
Yeah.
Or someone God put in your life for a reason.
For a reason, yeah.
For a season.
Oh, here we go. So hopefully that answers
your question. For a moment in time. No, go ahead.
Hopefully that answers your question, Kiki. Don't feel bad for having preferences, because we all have preferences. We all have our wants. You know what I'm saying? Just don't allow that to cloud your judgment and take over. And you seem to be in a good spot right now.
Absolutely. So, seems like you're on the path. Yeah. So
keep us posted when you meet somebody, girl. Okay?
Right.
Let us know.
That's right.
So that's the end of the podcast. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it.
It's a little bit longer, I feel like.
This was a longer one, but if you did enjoy it, let us know. We'd love it if you would rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to, but specifically on Apple Podcasts. If you are listening there, we'd love it if you'd rate and review us.
Please.
It just allows other people to, you know, learn about us and join the Let's Make Out family and all of that good stuff. You can keep up with us on Instagram.
Facebook
and YouTube at Let's Make Out Podcast, and on Twitter,
Let's Make Out Pod.
Even though ain't nobody tweeting. When's the last time we tweeted from that account?
Not ever.
We don't ever tweet.
But it's still there, though.
But it is there.
We hopefully this, you know, gave you a little bit more insight into what we're doing, what we're trying to attempt, and how we're trying to grow, and we hope that it has encouraged some of you to, you know, do the same.
Yeah.
And share your story.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep the conversation going in the comments. I know we asked y'all a million questions.
Yeah.
So
there will be a test next week.
Answer whichever ones y'all feel comfortable answering, okay? And we'll see you guys next week. Same time, same place.
That's right.
Bye, guys.
Deuces.
All right, we did it.
Chop, chop.
Holla.